Hallelujah. Wonderful, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We bless the holy name. Once again, Lord, as we come together and sit under thy feet, Lord, and learn from you, to break the word down to us, Lord, and help us to be who we ought to be, Father, as we learn thy word. For this we ask in Jesus' name right now, Father, break it to us. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this message this morning is to every assembly in the body of Christ. It's going to affect you. And now when I speak, I'm not only speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. And if you think that this message is not for you, and it's for other people, you are most mistaken. Last year, the title, of course, I just talked about last week, I call it the Sacred Heart. It's because I want to talk about the heart. You know, you have seen the iconic painting of the Catholic about Jesus, you know, the picture of Christ. If that is Christ, I do not know, because I don't know whether he looks like that. Because there are all kinds of pictures of Christ, the Black Nazarene also, you have. And then you have that heart that they painted there and said, the Sacred Heart. When we talk about the Sacred Heart, we want to go into just what it is, the core. You know what a core is? When I ask you, I said, what is the most important organs in your body? Everybody said, it's the heart. Because without the heart, pumping the blood and oxygen, not getting there, the nutrient not getting to where it's supposed to be throughout the body, you will not live. Right. But what happens if you remove the heart and put an artificial machine to pump it? It still will move, right? Yeah, you still will live. Yeah, but we're talking about the whole being. The heart. So when a person says, I love you with all my heart, and you know what it means, huh? You know? The expression. And so when I talk about the Sacred Heart or the core of the church, that is, but what is inside the core of the church? The church, the ecclesia, the core of the ecclesia, the body of Christ. What's in the heart of God? If we look at, just think about what's in the heart of God. What's in the heart of God is the coming forth of His only begotten Son. And but what's in the heart of Christ? The heart of Christ is to die for you, to give His love for you. So what, basically what it is, the core, the Sacred Heart, is that agape. The very love, because God is love. In Him is that heart, is that agape that flows out through Christ to you. What God did. What Christ did. Now what are we doing? The Father, He had that heart. The Son, He had that heart. Do we have it? Do we have it? So it's going to affect every one of us when I talk about this morning. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. If someone can read it.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having been known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, He had purposed in Himself that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the glory, unto the praise of his glory.
Amen. Now, you know, when I look and study Paul's writing, he had such an immense knowledge of the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given. You know, he just seemed to understand those things. And he lived his life for it. And here he wrote this to the Ephesian church, the church that he founded. And he said in verse 3, Blessed be the God and the Father of Lord Jesus, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now he wrote this epistle to the believers, not to the unbelievers. So I want you to examine yourself what we talk about today, about the core of the ecclesias, the sacred heart of God, which flows out his agape. Not just filial love, but the very center thing that is in his life, that is in God. He blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In one place, Paul said, we have not yet come to that understanding very much. The mystery that God has for us, the thing that plumbing, the blessing, the thing that God has promised us. Here we see only thing, as Paul would say, in the glass, darkly. But we need to learn and understand what God has for us. And then he said in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. In love. In his love. You know, I mean, many Christians, when they read the Bible, they really, yeah. They say this, they say that, yeah. But how many of us, when we look at the scripture, let those words be applied in us? The Bible said that we should be holy and without blame. Without blame! And I think pretty good every one of us full of blame. Some more, some less, of course. But the thing that we shall always move on unto perfection. That's what the Bible says, move on unto perfection. But apparently many of us don't. I'm not speaking this to this assembly alone. But because this video also goes out there. And there are those who are listening to it, watching it, and learning. Verse 5. Having predestined us unto adoption of children. And it's an adoption of children, sons and daughters of God. Remember what Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. What's the difference between these two verses? I mean, these two phrases. What's the difference? A child is born, a child is one who have no maturity. It's learning. A son is given, means it's mature. That's adoption. Unto us a child is born. Jesus was born as a babe, growing up. Huh? From childhood to teenhood to adulthood. So when he was already matured, in all those 30 years growing up, getting close to the Lord, learning the scripture, go to the temple, go to the synagogue, And he goes about doing God's will. So until the day when he was 30 years old, he was baptized. Then this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased to dwell in. That's adoption. And we come to the stage where God said, this is my beloved family. My beloved son, my beloved daughter. But we are walking, we are learning, we are pushing on, you know, towards the goal. To be like Jesus Christ, to be conformed to His image. And we have not yet finished our race. Right? We're still running the race. We fall many times, we hurt ourselves, we get up and we move on. We don't sit down. I mean, if you are running in a race, I mean, maybe kids. Yeah. You know, when you be a primary school kid, when they run and they fall, they will sit down there and cry and cut, you know, have a knee, you know, cut by a stone or something, abrasion here and there, start crying. And you are those one, but you're adult when you run the marathon or you run a race. When you fall down, do you sit down there where you when you fall and then you start crying like a baby? No. But that's how many of us Christians are behaving. Many of the believers are behaving like that. They cannot get up and run. Or maybe you're running and somebody happened to push you and you fell and you get blaming on that person. There's no maturity. The Bible talks about unto the adoption of children. Someone who is matured. And now I was just thinking, why did the Lord tarry so long and still not come? Well, are we still not in a stage where we should become as a wife? Or are we just bride? As many of the end of the message below was, the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. Yeah, you came on saying we are the bride. Are we not married yet to be the wife? Because the Bible said the wife and make herself ready. So have we made ourselves ready? Are we matured enough? And stop crying like a baby. Yeah. And in verse 11, to being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worked all things after the counsel of His own will. According to the purpose of Him. I mean, sure, you know, this life that we live as a Christian is not a bed of roses. There's always the thorns everywhere. Once, as I said, one stalk of rose. How many thorns do we have? So that's life. That God allows it. The rainfall upon the just and the unjust. We have to be put on a trial, and trial and tribulation will come. Look at Paul. I mean, as I said this many times, you look into the obituary in the newspaper, and those who have died as a Christian, put down, they have fought a good fight. I run the race, I fought a good fight. They quote that verse. I was wondering, what are they talking about? Are they fighting a good? They have fought a good fight because they have a disease or cancer from stage 1 to stage 4. They fight all the way and never grumble, never complain. Is that what it is? Or is it because they have been a Christian all the while in the church and that's it, nothing else? Until they die and say, I have fought a good fight. See, Paul said, I fought a good fight. It's because he had run the race with trial and tribulation that he faces. But how many of us came? No, I'm not asking that. You know, we live in a world where every people, whether you're Christian or not Christian, our mind is, you know, running to and fro. We never stop thinking, huh? Do you realize that we never start, try not to think for a minute if you can. Try. And you'll find out no matter how you try to not to think for a minute, you will have something coming in that 1 split second, something along the 1 minute, 60 seconds, something will come into your mind. And people's mind are running here and there. And in religion, people have all kinds of ideas. Now we take, for example, this Joan of Arc. I mean, I don't know what you know about Joan of Arc. I mean, he was fighting for France, he claimed to have visions when he was a young girl. You know, where the sword from heaven came down to her and he's supposed to fight. And because, you know, actually England was, came down and invaded France, and the father and mother was killed. I mean, the sister, sorry, the elder sister was killed. Right in front of her face. And then she started to get these so-called visions or voices from the angel of God. That she will be sent as a messenger of God to the king of France to fight against Britain or the English. Well, she was just kind of a crazy woman, really. Brave, but a little crazy. And she died at the age of 19 years old. She died at the age of 19. Burned at the stake, and she would not confess. She would not. She said, "My captain, I answer to the heaven, the heavenly, the God of the heavens. I'm fighting for him." But England want him dead. So they burned her, want her dead. So they burned her at the stake. And she just let her just die of burning at the stake. So, you know, our mind just that we're thinking of this thing one moment, next moment we're thinking about it. So, in history, she's considered a little bit crazy. Claim to have vision, this, we don't know. And now, of course, Roman Catholic canonized her as a saint after 500 years later. But you know, God do not need dead saints. God need you and me as living saints. What can God do with a dead saint? They are dead. We are living saints, so what are we going to do? How do we surrender to the Lord and let our mind be focused on the Word and live that life? And it says here, "For it does according to the purpose of him of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory." They are alive. Glorify God. Now let us look at this quotes of Brother Branham. So they say, Brother God don't quote of Brother Branham. I quote Brother Branham. But we want to see what Brother Branham said, and let's see what makes sense to you. Alright. "I'm more convinced than ever that in my life that it would take perfect love to enter that place. But there was no jealousy, no tiredness, no sickness, no old age, no death. Only supreme beauty and joy. Whatever you do, lay aside everything else until you get perfect love. Get to where you can love everybody, even every enemy, no matter if the plane is rocking, the lightning is flashing, or the guns of the enemy are upon you. These things do not matter. Get perfect love. If you are not saved, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior now. If you have not been baptized in water, be baptized now. If you have not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, receive it now. Press on to that perfect love, which will take you to the beautiful and joyful place beyond the curtain of time." This was, of course, from Brother Branham's sermon in 1961. entitled Beyond the Curtain of Time. Let us look at what the quote says here. I am not convinced that ever in my life that you will take perfect love. Alright? And then in the next life, another place, no matter if the plane is rocking, the lightning is flashing, guns of the enemy upon you, get this thing, do not matter. Get perfect love. Get perfect love. So the question right now is this. What is perfect love? What is perfect love? Get perfect love. What is get perfect love? Remember, we are talking about, here is what Brother Bam is talking, because he is a Christian preacher. Alright? He's a word preacher. He's not a pagan religious teacher who talk about perfect love. So what is perfect love? Because you know, in out there in all this religion, they always talk about perfect love too. As I said, the Catholic Church says, you know, they believe in perfect love. Hinduism, Jainism, Taoism, Confucianism, any religion, you talk about perfect love. But then, as far as we Christians are concerned, I want to ask this question. How do you obtain it? How do you obtain perfect love? And what on the earth is the first prayer when you talk about perfect love? What is it? Is it something that we can get so easily? Or is it something that is to come? Abraham said, well, get perfect love. First, now, the first thing we need to do is to define it. We need to define perfect love. Alright. By doing so, we need to examine the heart. Let us go to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 28, verse 2. Ezekiel 28, verse 2 said, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus said the Lord God, because the heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thy heart as the heart of God, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thy heart as the heart of God. So now when we talk about, you know, here who we know it, the prophecy is Ezekiel, you know, rebuilt the king of Tyrus. But behind the spirit of the king of Tyrus was the spirit of Lucifer or Satan. Huh? And so he said to Satan was, have set his heart as the heart of God. Wow. So what then is the heart of God? Can we all set ourselves as the heart of God? Can we all be like as God is God? Nobody. He's the only supreme being who have that core within him, that sacred heart within him, that agape within him, the essence of life. So when we talk about heart, we talk about the essence, the mind, the will, the feeling, the wisdom, the intellect, the emotion. Of course, you ask me, does God have a heart? Does God have a heart? In what sense are we talking about God have a heart? Does he have the heart like I have? The one with the four chambers, the muscle is about the size of my fist? No. The heart is the very center, the very essence, the core. He himself there is. His emotion, everything that is about him. His spirit. He doesn't have a brain. Not a physical brain. Some people say, well, you think with your brain. Do you think with your brain? Do you? You ever see that drawing where a man sitting on the commode? Huh? A water carrier? And he's sitting on that like this? Sitting on in the bathroom on a commode? He's thinking. So you think with your brain? I don't think with my brain. I think with my heart. When we talk about the heart, we talk about the mind. When we say about the heart, we're talking about the centeredness, the very you, your being. So what's in your mind? It's what's inside you. The very centeredness. That's what that heart of God is. Everything that God is, the mind, the essence of life, the emotion, the intellect. Satan, Lucifer, wanted to be like God as God is. But you come. Proverbs 20 verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 5 and 6. It says here, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Huh? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. You try to counsel a person, it's very hard to take it out. Very hard to get it out. Only the man with understanding and wisdom will bring it out. Most men will proclaim his own goodness, right? And you can trust me. I'm honest. But a faithful man who can find? But really? Can you find a man who can really trust? Trust me, trust me. Huh. So that is what does that mean? How much can you trust a man? And you know, the report has been that people has been cheated, scammed, because these people who go around asking to invest, trust me, trust, this is good. Mm-hmm. Today's paper report about the Hyflux, is it Hyflux? Hyflux. So there's some of them complain, so we thought it was good, we're asking to invest. Ah. Trust me. Don't trust me, brothers and sisters, don't trust me. Trust God's word. If it's not there, don't believe it. Go to Proverbs 27, verse 19. Here is a very nice proverb. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As in water, face answer to face. So the heart of man to man. That is, when you go to the water, it's just like a mirror. You look into the water, you see a face. You know, years ago, but not so now. Years ago, when I was having a problem with God and I was frustrated, angry. You get up in the morning, you wash your face, look into the mirror. Oh, those times when I looked in the mirror, I said, my goodness, there's a rascal there. I'm looking at myself. That's a bad man. Right? But some of you look into the mirror, you might say, ooh, I'm so beautiful and so handsome. Huh? When I ever did something wrong, I look into the mirror, I just look away. Because I'm looking at the very image of myself, the real me. Because here, you know, when I look out, there's no mirror before my face. I cannot see what I am. That's right. As a mirror or as in water, face answer to face, so the heart of man answer to man. So examine your own heart. And what kind of person you really are. As a Christian, I'm not saying as a person out there in the world. Or maybe you're good at your work. Uh-huh. Maybe you are the best nurse, the best doctor, or best technician, whatever, you are good at it. But what kind of person are you in God's eye? in the very heart of God. What are you? 1 Corinthians 2:11. Here, Paul, say almost the same thing what's in the Old Testament. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? So, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. So, well, as a man, you should know yourself, as to say. That the things of God, no man know, except God himself. The thing that you are in your mind, in your heart, that you are thinking of, what you are doing, what kind of person you are, only you yourself know. Whether you are honest and sincere or not, you yourself knows yourself. You should know yourself. That's what the angel of the Lord told Barabbas. If you would be sincere, sincere with yourself, not sincere with a brother or sister or with me, as God would talk to him. No. God did not ask you to be sincere with him. God asked you to be sincere with yourself. Do you understand? Do you see the difference? Are we sincere with ourselves? If we are not honest, we're not doing the right thing, what do we do? Are we, if we are insincere with ourselves, we will say, I'm not doing the right thing. And then I need to correct myself. Or do you just, brush it away or sweep it under the carpet? Or when you did something wrong to a brother or a sister, do you sweep it under the carpet? You see. Nobody talking about character. Years ago, I went back to India. One of my brother asked me, he said, "Brother, do you have any new revelation?" I said, "Brother, why are you always looking for new revelation? The one that God has given us, have you digested it? Does it make your life as a Christian better? Do you look at yourself as..." But, it's not all just about doctrine or revelation. If all those things that you have learned and knowledge, as the Bible said, knowledge part of it, is what we need is love. Expression of love. Because if you have the Word of God, all those revelation, all those doctrines, if we have received it, if we understood it, if it goes into our heart, the very core of our life, then our character, our life that we live, will express Christ to the praise of His glory. You see? Or else, all the revelation knowledge is useless, as Paul would say. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You also ought to know it. The Bible says you search yourself. But is that we just put it away. Just rub it. Just ignore it. Remember I told you how that I always remember this. I cannot forget it. How that I would cheat the ice kacang man. He has the best shredded ice dessert. Fantastic, really. I won't be able to find one today. That his shredded ice literally melts in the mouth like snow. It cost 10 cents or 15 cents. And I would cheat him all of that. And think nothing of it. Until I was convicted to know. We tend to put things aside. Brush it away. Like I said, if you go to a store and he buys something. He gives the person $50. And what you are paying for is $22, for example. So you should be changed $28. But what happened? He gave you $38. You walk away with it? With extra $10? Yeah? Do it. Well, no, I don't think so. Because you're a Christian now. You need to know what's right. See? Because that cashier will have to account for the missing $10. And I was told that the employer would take it out of her own pocket. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. And we can't get away with it, because we've got to give an account of it. Even as God now is searching in us, searching the rain, looking at us. And so I know one thing, God is not true with us. But God needs to have the word keep on reminding you. Well, just like a young fellow here, Jonah, what he testified when he's true, isn't it? To get everything to create in you a porter with a clay. To shape you the way that he wanted to. Need a lot of patience. And those without patience will be very frustrated. And he will throw the whole thing away and walk off. But God, being the great porter, he's not. He's not saying, you are so stubborn, I just throw you away. No. He will look him on kneading, and he's going to hurt you back. You don't think so that God was so good, he's so full of grace and loving, so that he would not hurt me? Look at Israel. Look at Israel. Look at Israel. God is shaping Israel, but they are so rebelled time and time again. And God came on warning them, send prophet, to kill the prophet he sent. And they said, oh God, okay, you're so stubborn, I send you out to Assyria, to Babylon. And there you will be slave to those nations. And you are subject to their cruelties. Until such time, I will bring you back. Yeah, the Lord sometimes just put you aside for a while. Let you do whatever you want for a while. And let you experience all that you want to experience, and then you break your leg. Remember, the Good Shepherd, he not just go out there to look for the lost sheep, but stubborn sheep, stubborn lamb, they refused to move the way he wanted them to move. And every time getting out of the herd, getting out of the movement as a group, the Good Shepherd will take that. And that's what his staff is for. Break the leg of the lamb. And then, you know, sprint it up nicely, let the bone join that. But he will carry the lamb for a while. And because the lamb can move, really move, the lamb will always stay by his side. And that's the time to learn. Oh, I have learned how. I have learned. One time I told you I almost died because I had hemorrhagic fever for up to 7 days. On the 8th day, I said I would die. Yes? I thought I was going to die. I know that I have to get right with God that night. I said, or else I would die. And when I got right with that God that night, my fever left me. And I walked out the room. My brother, my younger brother, Christopher, he remembers that very well. Because my mom scolded me, you're going to come out to get the chill? I told my mom I'm here. Many lessons I've learned. when God allowed certain things to happen so bad in my life. You see, that's where trial to resolve you may not have it. Let me tell you something. If you love God a lot, the closer you want to get to God, it's a trial and tribulation. More trial and tribulation to prevent you from getting close to Him. Satan doesn't want you to get close to Him. Satan wants Christians to be nominal Christian. Come Sunday, go to church. Give your offering, give your tithes. Go home. Sunday comes again, repeat the whole thing. Nothing. Nothing special. But I think a lot of Christians live as a Christian as like a zombie. No. We don't live like a zombie. We move with God. What God wants us to do, we move with God. Let us be very sensitive to what God is doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written by us, written, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy table of the heart. Paul wrote this to Corinthians. Oh, he found a church there too, but this is a Corinthian, it's a church that, because it's saturated in the city of Corinthians, where there is a lot of, well, commerce going on, a lot of theaters there, drama, you know, theaters. But today, people like, not the artifacty guy, you know, that you see on the drama, the art scene where they have this sculpture, they put all kinds of painting, crazy painting, and display it. No, not that kind. This is the kind of drama, I mean, theater where they have this, what we call that, on stage play. But today, what do we have? We have a lot of Hollywood, we have a lot of movie theater. Huh? The theater no longer is in the building anymore. Out there that you usually buy a ticket and go in. Now the theater has come to the home. Right? The theaters have come to your home. And you can see out there in the mall and all these places where they sell all this technology. Home theater. Huh? How many inch screen? As big as your living room. Wall of the living room. Stereo sensation, surround, and whatever. Oh, they have children in the home now. But somebody says, I don't have your brother. Oh, now you have your computer, of course. You can go on your Netflix, you can go on anything, right? Till that's come. Corinth was just a city, a cosmopolitan city, where there's a lot of all this going on, money making corporation. Theaters, immorality going on right there. Here we have Singapore. Singapore is not. Some brothers back then in the 70s were saying, when he was preaching a little sermon, he was saying, Singapore, you know why Singapore? When you go into the airport, you take your what? You know, your ticket to travel, you have the word S-I-N, Sin City. Singapore is a sin city. But back then it was not like that, of course. But today it seems to be getting more. That's why in the early day, in fact about 20 years ago, I told you that I was stopped even in Orchard Road. Just next to the embassy, the Thai embassy. I was a brother, James Merriman. And here came, I think she's a Thai woman or, I don't know, young lady came up to me, want a date? And I told her, I said, do you know, I could have called the police, I could have been arrested. You're not supposed to do this when you come visit Singapore. She turned around and walked off. You see, when we have a city that is open up to the world outside, we got all foreigners coming here. Some illegally, as you read in the paper. They try to find jobs, they do all kinds of things. Yes. Korean is was like that. And Paul knew about this problem. And when he wrote this to them, he said, but you are a church. With all the problems that they face, the immorality that's even inside there, he rebuilt them. And he warned them, he told them, you have the truth. And you have our, he said here, you are our epistle written in our hearts. Known and read of all men, what we have imparted to you. People are looking at you. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, yet it is through us that I wrote this in your heart. Minister by us, written not within, but with the Spirit of God, not in tablets of stone, but in the fleshy table of heart. Paul is saying that we are just like, or as apostle, we are just like an amanuensis, that means a middleman. We are copies. We are God's messenger. He told us what to tell you. He dictated to me. I dictate to you. And Paul was actually a messenger. Every preacher is a messenger. So Paul said, then live that life then. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That is true. How else do we love God? When the Bible says you are supposed to love God with all your heart, your soul, your spirit, your mind, your body. So how do we love God? How much do we love Him? We love you, Lord Jesus, because you saved me. I wonder why God gave me that song. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. I was just in the toilet showering. And I was just opening my mouth because the water was just fine. Just praise the Lord and say, I belong to you, Lord. And then within that 5 minutes, all the words came. The third stanza was the one that made this whole thing real. Now's the time that I walk with Him closely. Day to day, now that I'm set free. Because I have to. We have to. Because God's love is reaching out to you. Let's go to the next portion here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to verse 31. Brother Henry, will you read? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31.
So as the body is one, and have many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased them. That's it, pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet unto but one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon thee we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely part and more abundant comeliness. For as our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which is head. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the member should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after them miracles, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Now, look at the first verse. For as the body is one and have many members, I mean, we are all, that's why I say it's so, my body is so wonderfully and beautifully made. The other day I was just thinking about my ear. How is it that I can hear? You know? And then I was thinking about how evolutionaries and all those, anything they said there's no God and all that. And we came from some atoms, some molecules, some particles, and whatever, gas and whatever. And yet, it came together and I have a body that not only could see, but could hear. Imagine that you're blind. Total blindness. I mean, not that you're born blind, but you already have sight, but let's say one day you're just straight blind. All of a sudden, you know how terrible that is? The sight is very important of all the five senses, it's one of the most important. But if you don't have hearing all of a sudden, wow, you're living in the world of sound. Compared to the world of darkness, this is also terrible. Because you could see, but you could not hear. Everything is just, you go to the mall, everything is just silent. Like nothing. You couldn't hear music, you couldn't hear anybody talk. If you lost the smell, it's not so bad, or your taste. But this, not hearing, terrible. Not seeing, it's worse. The body is one, but many members. There are people that believe in a one-member body church. You know, over the years, as I said, the church is never perfect. The church is never perfect. Every time there is a schism, some problem that starts in the church, who would they blame? The one up here in the pulpit. Even there is friction between one or two brothers or something else, it's always the pastor. The pastor. You know something, Brother Dan? Your church is full of problems. See, yes, certainly. Certainly, the church has a problem. What are you going to do about it? When I get away out of this church. You want to find the best church? Find one that's perfect. Let me know you can find one. Find me a perfect church, and I'll join. I won't be surprised if I go there. The perfect church, all the members, if there be 50 of them, everyone looks exactly the same. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody is the same image. It's the mold. Form your church as perfect and they all look like you. There will be no problem, isn't it? Because all the members think you're alike because it's the same you. Sure, but the Bible tells us to be like-minded. In what sense? In the sense according to the word. But the Bible here, Paul tells that we are one body, many members. The hand is different from the feet. The eyes from the nose. From the ears, from the mouth. They're all different members. Huh? And the hand said to the chick, I don't like you. That's it. Because you don't look like me. You don't behave like me. I can move my hand, but you can't. But the mouth will say to him, I can do this, can you? I used to tell one little story. You know, one day the eyes said to the body, my eyesight is getting worse. It's getting bad. I can't see very far. So now I only could probably see only a few feet in front of me. I need a pair of glasses. And the nose gets angry. No, I'm not going to carry a pair of glasses on my nose. And the ears say, yeah, neither do I because I'm being hooked. Well, so the glasses was not purchased. And the poor body walking around with the hand, you know, stretching out because he couldn't see very clear. And one day, walking down the road, a little too fast, and the body slammed into a lamppost. Who got hurt? Huh? Who got hurt? It's the nose. Now become a bloody nose. And the mouth said, ha ha ha, it teaches you a lesson, isn't it? You see, the problem is this. If we don't cooperate in this body, you know, when your body, the back of your body itches, what do? Your hand will try to go by and scratch it. It's very natural. When your stomach, the organ that's inside, is growling, is hungry, it has to eat. And the mouth has to do the action of munching the food and chewing on it and swallowing it. And the esophagus has to bring it down. And the rest has been done by the rest of the body members too. So, one body, many members. You don't find a church that is one member body. Everybody look alike. As I said, you found one, I would like to join. But I wouldn't be surprised they all look like you. And you don't have a problem. This is the way I want the church to be run. This is the way, that's the way to be, the song should be sung. This and that, you fight for this and fight for that, you argue over there, then it will be no more. Because it's you. That's the reason why someone was telling me, trying to teach me what to preach. I said, you're teaching me what to preach? You're telling me what to preach? Then God should have called you to be a preacher. You see, I have been in this ministry all this year, I have gone through from the very beginning of 1971. And being that I studied psychiatry, I studied psychology, I know human behavior. Huh? It's very hard to deal with human. Can you tell a person who is paranoid that he's paranoid? He won't believe that he's paranoid. Think about it. When a person is depressed, you tell me he's depressed. Yeah, he knows that he's depressed. But a paranoid, people with ideas, You can't tell him. He will get into a fight with you. That's what it is. Verse 14 says that. I mean, verse 30 says we are baptized into one body, drink into one spirit. So we have one life source. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 22. Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So don't count out those persons who just a small little fly should hit. Now I said this, you know, in the church building. I mean, if you have a proper sanctuary where somebody has to take care of the church, sweep the floor or vacuum the floor, if it is carpet, clean the window, and whatever else. We call him a janitor, right? A janitor. A brother who volunteered to do all that. Don't think that it's a very lowly job. Let me say this. Do you know those workers out there who clean up your dustbin every day? Who collect and dump your dustbin? You know how smelly that is? Do you think that it's a lowly job? Yes, a lot of people said that's a very lowly job. I remember when I was young going to primary school, I was told you better study hard or else you'll be a night soil carrier. You know what night soil carrier is? In those days we don't have the water carry system. All we have is a bucket. In America they call it the outhouse. You go out of the house and you go out there into a little shed. And you squat there, you pull into the bucket. In those days, you can go and see only Singapore in the 50s, 60s. They carry, and the men will carry two buckets. They're all filled with human feces. And when I was young, of course, all the other tell the young people, you better study hard, if you don't, you'll become a nice soy carrier. But look at, I was thinking back now. Yeah, not everybody is fit for all the big jobs. Not everybody is intelligent. Not everybody is smart. Some people are just so simple they never have education. But that's the job they all do. But don't look down on them. Without them, you will not have a clean life. Though they sweep our home, our estate. Without them, who's going to clean up that? That says why those members of the body think that's not important. They're important. Alright, next. Verse 23. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 25. That there should be no schism. Verse 26. One member suffered, all members suffered. One member honored, all rejoice. Right? Isn't it true? Alright. Now, Paul talk about all these things. About all these members. The gift. Then he answered this question. Have all the gifts of healing? Have all tongues? Have all interpretation? Whatever gifts. Not everybody have. But he said, covet earnestly the best gift. But yet I show you a more excellent way. And we come to that. The very core of it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 now. Here we now talk about the way of love. If we don't have this, brother and sister, we are nothing. Do you realize that? Let's look at it. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass. The word charity, what is charity? Very bad translation by King James. Yeah. Very bad translation, I tell you that. Look at the word charity. You say, do you give to charity? I don't know, maybe those times in the King James time, I don't know why they translate the word like that. The word charity here is translated from the word agape. Do you remember about agape? What is agape? Agape is God's love. The very core of himself. That's how I say, if God flow out his word, his very essence is all the center of himself into Christ. And Christ laid out his life, gone through all the trial and the tribulation, and laid out his life for you. Huh? He wants that in you. We're always talking about, I want salvation, I want blessing, I want this, Lord. Can we ask it, Lord, I want more of your love. I want more of it. Flow into me. I want more of it. That's what we should be asking for. Lord, say, bless me, O Lord. And give me joy today, that I may open my mouth and praise you all the day. Something of that sort. No. That's more of his love. Though I speak with a tongue of men and of angels and have not agape, I'm become as sounding brass or the tinkling cymbal. And though I have all the gifts of prophecy, understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have faith, all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not agape, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, now if you bestow this, sell all you have and give it to the poor. What is that? That's charity, isn't it? Is that not love? Is that not love? You see somebody in need of help, and he needs $50,000. He said, okay, I sell my car and get the $50,000 to the man. What is that? Is that not love? That's charity, right? Charity! Love! But what kind of love is that? There are different levels of love. In fact, there are three kinds of love. The first, the Greek word, eros. Huh? That's why you get the erotic name, the word erotic, come on, the word eros. Means it's a physical attraction. The second one is filial love, brotherly kindness. That's a love one to another, whether brother or sister or one who's a stranger. But the one that is done, that flows out from God, all of him is agape. Yes. And though I give my body to be burned and have not agape, it profit me nothing. Right? There are a lot of people that put their body to be burned, right? You have seen them? There are protests in the world where religious people pour kerosene on them and burn themselves to protest. You have seen that? Have you not? If I give my body to be burned and have not agape, it profit me nothing. When we talk about agape, it can only come from God. And the people out there who are not born again, not filled with the Holy Ghost, can never receive agape. Do you understand that? Charity suffers long. It's kind. Agape suffers long. It's kind. Agape, do not envy. Agape, do not puffed up. Born itself. And it's not puffed up. Agape does not talk about and boast about himself. Huh? Do not behave itself unseemly. Seek not her own. Is not easily provoked. Think no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Never fail. Whether it be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether it be tongue, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now by faith, hope, charity, or agape, these three. But the greatest of these is agape. Look, examine this carefully. Charity, verse 4, suffer long, is kind, not envious, do not proud of itself, not puffed up, boastfully, do not behave itself unseemly, seek not her own, is not easily provoked, think no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. So now, you have agape. That's what we talk about. What is perfect love? We'll come to that in the next moment. Perfect love. Perfect love is actually the same as the word agape. Telios. Agape. Perfect. Complete. Agape. But it flows from God. But we are not perfect yet. God wants that to be in you and me. So now, we are believers. Now, brother and sister, we are believers. As I said, this message is not for only here, but every example. No church is perfect. But what do we do? Paul talked about that there be no schism in the chapter above. But yet there is schism in many churches. We have ideas. So, if we have agape flowing in us, you know, working in us, to the stage of perfection, do we take notice of the things that is happening in the church? And do we care? There are many brothers and sisters that have left this church over the years for many reasons. Have you picked up your phone and called them? Have you? To show that you care. Or you just say, oh, the brother and sister have problems and they left. Okay. How do you know I'm asking this question? Do you have the sacred heart of God in you? You said that you want Him more of His love in you. You believe in Him, but He's working in you. Are we opening up to Him to be caring like the Father is, that He gives His only begotten Son to us, and He willingly go through the assembly to Calvary? Well, brother, sister, many of them have left over the issue, but have you just called them up and asked them? I wish that you could come back. Just have a little talk with them. If you have called them and they say to you, don't bother, I'm not interested, then that's okay. Then leave that way. How many of you have picked up the phone and called? You see, not only that, people say the walls have ears. Only not that. Well, there's no walls, there's the birds. They carry news. And I heard all kinds of news. Yeah. From a brother or a sister, they have left us. Then nobody calls, nobody cares. That's why, brother, and your church have a problem. I said, sure, I have. It's never perfect. And I wish that my church is full perfect. It can't be. Because why? Every one of us are different. But everyone can be the same. In one mind, one accord, according to God's word, and do what the Bible said, if we have that agape working in us. You know, Jesus went to Gethsemane, to pray. Why was he there in the Gethsemane? Because he had to face Calvary. And he didn't want to die. He went to Gethsemane, he cried out 3 times to the Lord. Father, if it's possible, remove this cup. But the love of God, agape of the Father, was in him, stirring him up. God did not answer. God knew that his son knew that he's already written and predestinated that he must die. But Jesus Christ could just walk off and not go to the cross. But he let that love flow into him. No matter how hard it is. You see, this is what God wants. It's not just coming to church. Of all people in the world, God chose you and me into the truth of his word. And all those Christians in the world, if they really are born again, they should look at the word, not just go to the church. You know what? A pastor of a large church will be very happy if he could see you. If he had a church of 200 people. He's very happy if the people keep coming and going out, keep coming going and out, and do nothing. He's happy. Because he's collecting the money for his own. Huh? You see what I'm saying? Do we care about those who left us? Do we call them and ask and discuss with them the problem? But you know, sometimes when you, perhaps you meet them on the road or in a food court, and you start to sit and you talk. Let me warn you this, that you should be wise. Because the person who have a problem with the church, or with a sister or a brother in the church, or with whatever, when they complain, bring it out, this and that. And if you are not wise, you will say, that's true. Yes, that's true. That's very true. Everything will be true. You know. And when you start to agree with him like that, they will take it for a positive sign that you also don't like the church. And that's how Satan works. Get you out of the church. And I said this, I have no problem. Because I'm just a servant of God. The kingdom in heaven is not my control, it's God. Who he see fit to go to heaven, or who he see fit to go into that rapture, is him, not me. I'm just preaching what ought to be preached. That's all. What ought to be taught, you would know. Yeah. So what do? We call the person up when you see the person left the church or have vaccine. Let me just tell you, 2 days ago, this brother whom have not been to church for a long time, long time. Back in those days, he come as he liked once in a while. Only perhaps later on by time, only once a year. For the communion. But when I called up, I've not seen him in church. His reply is, I'm always busy. But now he's not even busy now. He doesn't want to answer my text. I call him, refuse to answer the phone. Yes. And he come one time years ago, he complained to me about what he heard from the other churches about certain problem here. I I said, you believe that? You see, the problem is that we are always full of complaint. But we don't recognize that we are not a solution to the church. You want to complain about the church? Then find a solution. You see, it's so simple, isn't it? If you don't have an answer to some problem, then don't complain. Pray about it that God will use somebody to solve the problem. If it's not you, and if you have the ability to do it, you don't want it. I think that's a terrible thing to do. What kind of church is God looking at? God is not looking at you just wanting to know the truth, the revelation, the mystery. But the Lord wants you to live that life of agape, to care for one another and love one another. So, faith, yeah, you have faith. We all have faith in the Lord. Hope, yeah, for His presence coming, that we might make it up there. Agape. Do we really have it? Let's go to the book of John 21:15. Do you remember what about Peter and Jesus? Just look at this. John chapter 21:15-19. But Luke want to read it. Stand up and read that. John 21:15-19.
So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than he? Said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he spoken this, he said unto him, follow me.
Know what is the passage all about? Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, agape thou me? I have it written in the book there. Agape thou me? Peter said, Lord, you know I feel you, thee. What was in the mind of Peter? Jesus asking, agape thou me? Lord, you know I feel you on me. Second time Jesus asked him, Peter, agape thou me? And Peter again replied, Lord, you know I feel you on me. The third time Jesus said to him, Peter, feel you thou me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I feel you on me. Oh my. Jesus had to condescend himself down to the level of Peter's love. Jesus wanted all of Peter to love him. Agape thou me, not filio thou me. There is some part of Peter that is not fully into Christ. How much do you love Christ? Do you love Him with all of your being? Or do you just keep certain part for yourself? Lord, you know I feel you. To agape you? Mm-mm, I can't. I find heart. But that is what the love of God, the agape of God, come into your life and my life, to walk into that place where we will be a part of His family, the part of the body of Christ, the part which flows from God, going back in the beginning, that was the Word. I'm part of the Word, remember? Remember the song? Yeah. God brought Himself up. God poured Himself out in Christ. Christ poured Himself up for you and me. And God is going to collect everything back to Himself. Are we going to be a part of that agape? Or just have only feeling on that side? And Jesus Christ knew Peter is still yet not fully loving him. Then he said to Peter, "Verily I say to you, Peter, when you are young, you gird yourself. It means you tie yourself. And you walk everywhere you want to go. But when you are old, you will stretch forth thy hands and another will tie you up. You will stretch forth your hand and somebody will tie you up. And they will carry you where you do not want to go." Jesus was telling him that that's the way you're going to die. You'll be tied up by some men and carry you where you do not want to go. That's the death you will face. And the Jesus Christ said to him, "Follow me." You know, Peter has some part that he reserved for himself. Oh my goodness. Jesus, he loves Peter. He knew Peter's weakness. Remember? "You'll deny me 3 times. "No, no, no, I would not." "You will deny me?" "No, I would not." Just say, "Before the crow crow 3 times, twice, you will deny me 3 times. He was so cynical. He loved the Lord. But you know, how certain are we in our love for God? How certain are we that we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit and body? That even the little thing that we cannot do in the body of Christ, to care for those in the body. And that's very true, isn't it? When the church grows, everybody, well, how fast you go out? You go out. Because maybe you're hungry. Maybe you've got an appointment. But not all Sundays. Not every Sunday. Couldn't just step out and talk with somebody. Get to know each other. And I believe many of us don't know half the congregation. Some of you just want to go. "I couldn't even talk to you," before you just disappear. I guess maybe we blame it on the society. And Singapore is like that. Everything is fast paced. Like Brother Andrew, Peter, when he came the last time, when I went up with him, you know, with him, and I said, "Brother, why are you walking so fast?" You got Brother Shadrach. I said, "Brother, why are you walking so fast for the old man?" I said, "No, just my footstep is fast." It's one thing to walk fast, it's one thing. But it's another thing to do things that which is not necessary fast. That we can be together, slow in our lives a little bit, sit down and have a little talk. Alright. The last two verses and we closed. 1 John 4:17-18. 1 John 4:17-18. "Herein is our love made perfect." Now this is the only two verses of scripture that you find this verse, perfect love. Huh? Only here. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." So now, the first verse 17 Love make perfect. The word perfect here in the Greek word is teleo, means to accomplish, fulfill, okay, finish point, to complete. The other one is putting perfect in front of love. The word is teleos, which is completeness, full age, matured. That's why Paul, in the other scripture we read earlier on, about, he says, in verse 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I speak as a child. Right? I understand as a child. I taught as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Oh, a lot of people said they're mature. Those who left us, many of them, who fight for me in this church and left. Some of those that undermine my ministry. Oh, that brother. Can you tell me how to run the church? Who think he got better revelation than I do? Even a sister told me that he was so puffed up, so sure of his doctrine, his revelation. Now, it doesn't matter if I fought with me, but don't go and twist the word of God with your revelation. Acting like a child. When you commit an offense against a brother and sister, you better set it right properly. I said this many times. Don't take it for granted. As that brother would write to me and say, that's not a true apology. God forgive, I forgive, everybody forgive. That is not a way to apologize to me. What is that? I mean, if you want to apologize to a person, you know what I like about the African people? They're very quick to apologize. That's one thing about them. They say, brother, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for saying that. But no, here, no. They find excuses. They will twist everything. Wow. Oh, that is pride. Agape does not void itself. It's not packed up. If we say we have the love of God, then let's look at ourselves. Not at others. Others, yeah, as the Bible said. You know, you look at the beam in a person's eye. Or I mean the moon in a person's eye. You better look at your own eye. It's a big beam there. When people start finding phobia against somebody, it is because they have this inferiority complex. It's because they feel that they are so small and unwanted. Or something. They want to be somebody. Or because they are frustrated. Hey, we're talking about the love of God. What is this book that we have every Sunday? We come here to look at it. To digest it. Or perhaps you only come here on Sunday to digest it. Do you not digest it at home? Now I'm talking about our fellowship as well, those examples. I'm not talking about the entire message plan of my group. Because they're not digesting the word, they're digesting Brother Bram, and they fight over all the quotes of Brother Bram with one another. That's what I'm interested in. As Jesus told Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Mm-hmm. And you know what? After Jesus told him, then you know what happened to Peter? After that, he was received the Holy Ghost, baptized, and he was a changed man. But yet not perfect. Sure. He was still playing the hypocrisy, right? And so God had to send a man who's younger than him by a few years and rebuke him. How? Maybe Paul said to him, Peter, you are the Pope, you know? And you as a Pope, you do this? Probably he rebuked him that way. Because Peter was a big fisherman. He was the one who delivered the first message, right, of eternal life on the day of Pentecost. So we look at ourselves. We have love. The love is coming, making us perfect. We're coming to the place. That's why here Paul is talking. Wherein is our faith, love make perfect, agape make perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because when we have it, we know. Because as He is, so are we in this world, that we can be like Christ. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear hath torment. He that fear is not perfect in love. But the problem is that many of us find it so hard to take the phone and call up the brother, fearing that maybe that he might, the person he had it, might score us or something. Now I try my best to talk to those brothers and sisters, but they brush me off. That's okay. They don't want to talk about it. That's fine. You know, but don't come to me and don't go and spread everywhere. I said, Brother Gunn, do not care. Say that to God in the day of judgment, whether I do care or not. Or is it because you're so packed up that you don't want to listen? Can we not just sit down and listen? It's easy to brush, get angry and brush aside everything. Yes. Brother and sister, if we have the love of God and we are filled with His word, and we ought to have revelation. All you have to do is that just meditate. Let the Spirit of God work in our life. Don't get all frustrated and pain. Right? I have that all the years of stress with all this problem. And some say, Brother Gunn, you care so much about your apostolic ministry that you don't care about the church. We're a place where we can fellowship. That was in early years. All because there is a problem between him and the wife. And he said, I don't care. You see, a lot of people do not understand the ministry. What did Paul talk about? How that you will have to sort of rob the church of those who ought to do, to take the money and support those who are in famine, right? And those who are in droughts, to feed them. So it's not easy. But let agape prevail in our life. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Ask the Lord to bless us all. Flow in us, O Lord, your love. Flow in us, Father, agape. All that you are, we want more of you. More about Jesus. More about him. Of his love. Of the one who died for me. Father, that we may, in our revelation and understanding, reach out unto a brother or a sister, someone who is in need, and show we care, Father. Because, Lord, when the body suffered, one member suffered, all suffered with it, Lord. And that is so true. When one, now, Lord, they are honored, and everyone will be rejoicing in it as well. So, Father, we ask for your grace again to work in our life. We know you're not through with us yet until the day comes when we attain perfection. That love that comes from above, the capstone of agape, that will keep us and we'll be taken away home. Father, we ask for your grace now. Then you just continue working our life again. Bless every one of us. Bless those who are not here today. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.